you, Lord. Hallelujah. I am so glad that faithfulness is not based upon how many I preach to tonight, who's here or not here. Their faithfulness to play tonight is not based upon how many show up tonight. If faithfulness is based upon an individual effort, it's just up to you. I could say, well, we're not going to have as many on Tuesday night, so I'm not going to study as hard because, you know, it's just us few. God would not count me worthy to bless me next Sunday if I don't study as hard. But there's just one of you here. It makes no difference. Faithfulness is rewarded on an individual basis. And not who hears the word, who they perform for, if you will. They say, we're not going to practice this week because we don't have as many as we used to have. Or, hey, we got a big congregation coming, so let's practice harder. That's not work. You've got to give it all you got every time you give it. Every time, he said, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with how much of your might? All of your might. And he will reward the faithfulness, the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And I look across this congregation tonight, I know the weather's bad, and I don't blame anybody necessarily for staying home, but I see people that have driven a long, long way to get here. Don't think that doesn't go unrewarded. You may not can say, well, this was the day, but I'm just telling you, God will reward faithfulness on an individual basis. You say, if there's nobody else going, if I can make it, I'm going to be there. And the God of heaven, he was faithful to the cross. He endured the cross when nobody else would. And look at what his faithfulness brought to us. Oh, I believe in faithfulness. Abraham wasn't the most righteous man. He was a faithful man. That's what the Bible said. A faithful man. Amen. God bless you. You can stand with me tonight. I think we got a birthday today, don't we? There's somebody got a birthday around here. I heard that. Who is that birthday child? Raise your hand. Where is that birthday child? Well, there it is, right there. Oh, praise the Lord. Happy birthday. 29. And I'm 35. We're glad Brother Dennis is here and had a birthday today, and he's here celebrating his birthday at church with us tonight. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 17 and 24. I'm going to read one verse here and one verse in the next chapter. And really, chapter 18, 17 and 18 is only a continuation of something that's happening. And I want to kind of bring it together and talk to you tonight from my heart for a little while from these two passages of scriptures. Matthew 17, 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, you know, of all of the 12, they come to Peter. And they said, doth your master pay tribute? Now, let's look at the next chapter. Again, it's a continuation. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He's getting quizzed by the world and he's getting quizzed by his own people. They both want answers. Wow. I want to tell you tonight, I've got a message for somebody. Your answer will come. It will come, but from where you least expect it. Your answer to your question, to your dilemma, to your problem will come. But it's not going to come from where you're looking for it. And that's what I want to preach tonight. God, I ask you to be with us in these few short minutes that we have. Lord, eternity can be determined with one sermon, one word. And Lord, let it penetrate somebody's heart and renew their hope in you tonight that you still are capable of doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's up to you how you do it and when you do it and where you do it. In Jesus' name, let me comply to your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Your answer will come
from where you least expect it. We all have expectations. You live in life with expectations. I hope you have expectations. A person that does not expect anything is a very boring person. They are very, life is not fun. It's not happy. It's not joyful if you don't have some expectations. I have expectations of continuing, as I mentioned in the prayer room, he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. I expect on keep on living. I expect to blink my eyes and wake up in heaven one day. That's my expectations. And I can know that that's right because I have aligned my expectations with the Word of God. So if the Word of God says it, I expect it. The Word of God doesn't say it, then I need to see if my expectations are out of line or not. But when we have expectations, these are those forethoughts of how we think things might happen, when they might happen, where they might happen, and we expect it to happen this way. And so sometimes we're not looking for another way for it to happen because we're focused on it happening just like we think it's going to happen. And many times we get disappointed because things don't happen the way we think they should happen, where they should happen, and how they should happen. And when they do happen the way we think they should happen and how they, we go, oh, that's God. Oh, that's the Lord right there. You see how all this worked out? It's had to be God. It may not be God at all. It may just be you. But what we've got to do is put our expectations in Him and not things. Of how it should happen and where it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. Our expectation is in God. And I want to show you this tonight. When you have expectations and they don't meet what you think they ought to be, it builds up anxiety. And anxiety brings on these uncontrollable emotions of depression and oppression and anger and sleepless nights and weight loss and weight gain. It works both ways. And discouragement of all kinds. I mean, we get discouraged when things don't happen the way that we think they ought to happen. But no matter what your expectations are tonight, don't ever expect less of God than He can deliver. He said, I can do all things. To them that believe, all things are possible. Why would you expect less of God than He can deliver? And we reason in our minds and we toss it and talk about it and we talk to other people about it and we gossip about it, about what we expected and how they let me down. Oh, they let me down. I was expecting this and they let me down. Your expectation's in the wrong person. That's the problem. In order to prevent this anxiety, these disappointments that we have, we need to align our expectations with the one who can make it happen. Not with somebody else. Let me tell you, I was talking to someone today and we were both talking about we both agreed on this. People talk about the world and how bad the world is, and it's president this and what he's doing and president that and what he's doing and all that. And I looked at one guy and said, when you move into Africa, why don't you move to Ethiopia? And I tell you, when you go to every country there is, you'll come back here and you'll be under this same president we got now. And he could not be in office if he hadn't let him be in office. So zip it up. He could not be in office if God didn't let him be in office. So why do you want to go against the plan of God? It's God's plan to end the world. He's just part of the end of the world. So is President Bush and President Eisenhower and President Nixon. And so is every last one of them that is now and will be. They're all, why don't you just enjoy life and say, this is what it is, bless God. The Bible says those that know the Lord will do great exploits. Why don't we look for the exploits? Why don't we look for the things that we can do instead of the things we can't do? I have a man that I work with who's from China. He lives in California, and he's been here in the United States for 15 years. And he told me, he said, Marshall, I'm telling you, I have been all over the world many times. And I'm telling you, I don't care what people say, United States is still the best country to live in. I'm glad I'm here. I don't know about you. Y'all can move any place you want to, but I'm glad I'm here. Talk about how bad it is. I know it's not as good as it used to be, perhaps in your eyes, but that's all about the coming of the Lord. He said you should expect these things. So why do we get depressed about it? Now watch what Psalmist David said in 62:5. My soul, he's talking to his soul. Have you ever talked to your soul? Huh? I mean, a rich man talked to his soul. He said, soul, take thine ease. You remember that parable? You've laid up much goods. The prodigal son, he talked to his soul. That's what he was talking to. I'm better than this. And he said, my soul, he said, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. It's not in anybody else. I need to quit waiting on somebody else to make me happy in life. I need to wait for something. I need to quit waiting on somebody else to bring me this so I can be. My expectation is in the one that can make it happen and to get it to happen. He's over everything. I'm not waiting on anybody else. So when I don't wait on anybody else, you won't disappoint me. If you don't show up, you won't disappoint me. If you don't call me back, you won't disappoint me. No, my expectation is not in you. And your expectation shouldn't be in me. Your expectation is in God. Amen. The Bible says, and Paul wrote this in Philippians 1 and 6, said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If he started a work in you, he'll keep working on it till the day he comes. He's not going to stop what he started. He will finish what he started. He may work on you till the day he comes, but he's going to keep working on it. Hallelujah. God starts anything, he finishes it. That's why he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. Because if he starts something, the author and the finisher of our faith. But many times we start stuff, finish, don't finish it. Start this, don't finish, don't finish. But if God starts it, he finishes it. Jeremiah writes this in 29:11. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's got expectations of how your life should go. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And we get right back to that heart thing. If your heart's not in it, I'm telling you, people who come, they go through church, and we pick up a number, and then we go down. We pick up and we go down. And if your heart's not in it, I've learned you can't count on everyone you count. You can't. But if your heart's in it, through thick and thin, high and low, dry or wet, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be with it. I'm going to finish this thing. And too many times we pray the wrong prayer. We pray and God solve the problem, when what we need to pray is that God, you will make provisions for the problem. We need to pray to the one who can solve the problem. And instead of praying, God, make a way for me, we need to say, God, show me a way. It's like many times people, they go to Walmart and they say, they count their coins, they want to buy the lawnmower, okay? And they go, man, I don't have enough money. Lord, I'm praying, I'm binding. Y'all bind with me that he drops the price of that lawnmower by 50 bucks so I can buy it. Y'all bind, let's pray that happen. Well, how about let's pray, God, give me a little overtime. Give me a raise at the job. Let me work harder. Let me get a promotion. And let me be part of the way. You see, let me be part of the way it happens. But we want it to happen without us being part of the way. All right. So all the provisions that we need tonight are inside the kingdom of God. Everything you need. I talked in prayer room about being equipped. Everything you need is inside the kingdom of God. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things are there. And they will be added to you. But if you want to seek the other things first, it's not going to happen. You'll miss the kingdom of God. You can't bi-step the kingdom of God and expect to get all these things. And I have learned that the only way to find the will of God for your life is to be obedient to his word. Can you say amen? When you obey his word, you are doing the will of God. You can't miss the will of God if you do what he says to do. And so here I go into my text tonight. I'm going to work my way into this thing. The Apostle Peter, when he first found the Lord, what was he doing? He was fishing. Had he caught any fish that night? He had caught nothing, and he had toiled all night long, and he had caught nothing. So when Jesus finds him, he says to him, he doesn't really know him, but he says, Peter, cast your net, and ye shall find. And he first rebuked the Lord and said, but Lord, I worked at it all night. I toiled all night. You know what toil means? To waste your time. And I don't know, maybe some of you feel like, I'm just wasting my time. I'm here to tell you, you never waste your time when you're in the will of God. You're never wasting your time when you're doing the will of God. Never, never, never. The word of God will never return what? You can't waste your time when you're doing the will of God. And so he says, but Master, we've taught all night. Nevertheless, at thy word, when you perform and obey the word of God, you will come again with rejoicing. Doubtless, come again with rejoicing. And so he takes what was an empty net after toiling all night, and he cast one cast. Now stay with me. He's casting a net. It's not easy to cast a net. I don't know if it was a cast net or probably a drop net, but it's not easy. And it requires a boat to do this, right? And they're taking their net, and they're going to, and it's, when they're dragging it around, the Bible says, and it filled with fish to the point it broke. It stopped the boat. Now, every time I've been shrimping, it stopped the boat because I was hung up on something somebody threw out. I thought, man, we'd load it up. We'd pull it up, the anchors and pieces of motors and stuff like that. But the net broke. And when it began, it stopped, they called for their partners to come help them. And the Bible says that they filled two boats. They had two boatloads, and they put so many fish out of these nets. It's like 1,001, 1,002, that the boats began. That's not possible. That should not hold enough fish to sink the boat. It's not possible. But they just kept, it was like the widow's barrel, I believe. They just kept, you know, the widow just kept, well, Lord, there's another one in there. Lord, there's one more day in there. Lord, tomorrow we're going to die. No, we got one more day. There's one more fish in there. And they kept getting fish out, so many that the boats began. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to believe on Christ right now. When you've toiled all night and you come up with nothing, and he says, casting that out, and as soon as you do, I mean, so Peter says, Master, depart from me, for I am a wicked man. See, when you start doing the word of God and see the benefit of following the word of God, you realize how insecure you really are and how much you really do need God. Because you're trying to do it your way and it's not working. But you do it his way one time and you go, oh God, I need to start listening to you and read my Bible more and pray more and listen to your word more and quit trying to have my expectations. Because they had expected to catch fish, right? But I'm here to tell you in my sermon, I'm preaching to you, they got what they didn't expect. That wasn't what he expected to happen. He thought, I'll show you, Lord. You think you know how to tell me how to fish? And I'm a fisherman, and we've toiled all night, and Lord, there's something to this. And so he realized how insecure, and tonight, I don't care who you are, you're insecure. I don't care how much money you have, how many degrees you've got, what kind of job you've got, you're insecure. Without him, there's no security in life. None whatsoever. I'd clap my hands too. You're in God's hands. I don't even want to be in Allstate's hands. I won't be in God's hands. I don't even want to be in my own hands. I want to be in God's hands. That's the most secure hands that there is. Peter found the will of God. Now watch this. For his spiritual life by following him in the carnal life. Do you understand that? He said, cast the net, and boom. He showed his power to him in a carnal, but it was spiritual power that was working in his carnal life. God can do that. He can take your carnal life and turn it around with his spiritual power so that now you enjoy your life instead of struggling your life. So it doesn't take a whole lot of figuring here to understand that God was in this thing. It was a God thing. So now Peter goes. Now watch this. He goes from